The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Father, continue and increase your renewing work in us and in all your creation. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, this morning in our mission statement, we come to the next little gem in this constellation of gems that our founder cobbled together and hammered and tonged over a long period of time that guides our work together. We come to the phrase, being formed in worship renewal, servant leaders in worship renewal and education. Now, I'm going to delay talking about education until another little bundle or constellation I'm going to put together towards the end of our week together. But this morning, I'm going to talk about worship renewal. Tomorrow morning, the Reverend Dr. Walter Brown will be with us again, and he'll be breaking down our biblical and theological reflection. Then on Monday, I'll be talking about the historical and cultural reflection. Tuesday, Dr. Nancy Nethercott will break down our missiological reflection. And then on Wednesday, I'm going to sort of bundle together education, graduate praxis, and community. And so hopefully then we will have sort of thoughtfully reflected on all the components that make up our mission statement together. We've heard the term semper reformanda. It was a battle cry of the Reformation to always be reforming. But we also talk about worship renewal. When do we renew and when do we reform? And you can't really split the two apart. They're very interrelated. But renewal, I think, is more of a process that begins in the interior and works its way out. It's more organic. It's something that's an ongoing process. So I would say renew always, always be renewing, and reform whenever you need it. Sometimes we just need to take some action and change the structures and change the hard elements of what we do. So always be renewing and reform when you need it. One of the most interesting illustrations of renewal to me is the water cycle of the earth. And I just learned a couple days ago that the technical term for it is called a hydrologic cycle. And I think we've got a very simple diagram for what happens here. Oceans, rivers, and lakes evaporate. Then they condense into the clouds up above us. Then they return to us as liquid and solid precipitation, rain and snow. That way, our water resource is constantly being renewed. Rivers do their own version of this, kind of a microcosm. They clean themselves as they go, and it happens through the oxygenation as the water is troubled and mixes with air, and also with the sedimentary rock that forms on the bottom. It catches the impurities as it goes by, and the sedimentary rock builds and the rivers get cleaner. They clean themselves and renew themselves. Well, I love the whole notion of renewal in Scripture. And I don't know, you know me well enough to know that I really don't know Hebrew or Greek, certainly not Latin, but the Hebrew word that one of the ones that leapt out to me was chadash. The Greek word kainos, am I saying that correctly, Greggy? Kainos, and the Latin word renovo. All these words imply renew, refresh, restore, repair. It has a delightful ring to it. Renewing in Scripture is referred to throughout the Hebrew Scriptures. It refers to the renewing of material things, renewing the earth. Lord, send out your spirit, renew the face of the earth. The word is used to repair a broken altar. Something as practical as repairing a broken altar. Talks about renewing the days or returning to former favor. The restoring of spiritual strength. Romans 12, 2, we know that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And I think that that's a collective thing, at least as much as an individual thing. Because we have the mind of Christ. I think sometimes it's good for me to remember that I standing alone don't, and you standing alone may not, but together we have the mind of Christ. Ephesians talks about being made new in our attitudes. 1 Corinthians 4:16 talks about inner renewal. Colossians 3:10, renewal by the Holy Spirit. So is it possible for us to do something like what water does? Well, not on our own. And thankfully, as we were reminded in these opening songs, we've been given a great and precious gift in the Holy Spirit, who can renew not only the face of the earth, but renew his church and renew us individually, refresh and restore. However, Jesus, I think, gave us some tools to help us cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Whenever I began to, probably in the 70s, I guess I first encountered the Ash Wednesday service. And every Ash Wednesday, I know it's true in, I think it's true with all Anglicans, I think Lutherans do this, Methodists do, I don't know how far across the body of Christ it goes, but you always get that teaching on the spiritual disciplines from Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. Pray, fast, give. Well, why would those things be important? We know that Jesus actually defeated the enemy in his wilderness temptation with the sword of the Spirit, with the Word of God. But I think what gave the sword of the Spirit power and thrust in his mouth and in his hands was that he had been living a life of prayer, of fasting, of giving. And this is for another day, but I think in that, trilogy of disciplines, he's given us a way to break up the fallow ground and to tackle head on those three areas that John warned us about: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And if you think about Jesus' three temptations in the wilderness, each one was engaging one of those areas of temptation. He was tempted in the area of the lust of his eyes, the lust of his flesh, and the pride of life. And I believe that it was those disciplines of prayer and fasting and giving and the strengthening of the Holy Spirit that prepared him to have the strength to know exactly what word to speak to foil the devil's temptations. Related to the word is also the gift of the word and prayer. In the word and prayer, we have the picture of the dialogical relationship we enjoy with our Maker Redeemer. He speaks to us in his word, just like he did this morning. We get to speak back in song, in prayer, in silence, and that dialogue goes on. And I continue to marvel. We hear about this in churches all over where our students, where our alumni go. It's the renewal of the experience of Scripture in corporate worship and the renewal of corporate prayer. And I think if we can just keep doing that, that gives the Holy Spirit some elbow room to work where mighty things can happen. So, worship renewal, and we'll get to education next week. Well, of course, you'll get to it practically today, but but we'll get to it here next week. Let's prepare our hearts for a season of silence.